I'm here. So hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl. All right, guys. So today is Friday, January 29th, 2021. So we are almost done with January. If everybody's excited about February coming and being right around the corner, awesome, because I am so done with this winter. I just can't stand it anymore. The snow, I usually like snow when it's falling.
Winter and snow. I mean, if you look at, not to be labor about last year, if you look what happened last year, I mean, it was cold for a long time. Well, even into May, it was brr.
Pass me that pillow really quick. Right. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely colder. I mean, it's been colder, but now it's kind of gone up back up to, like, I'm wearing a dark shirt, so I want people to see. Okay, so I've been, you know, it's been getting a little warmer now, but now with the snow it feels like we're in a cold locker.
You know, the days are getting longer. That's what's nice.
Yeah, and it's nicer to be able to see the moon at the same time as you can see the sun. It's like, oh, there's the moon. Just saying hi.
The days are getting longer.
So. Yeah, days are getting longer. I just feel like I'm glad that I'm getting more clients that are wanting to get, you know, photos again. I'm starting to book more photography gigs, so that's great, because I was just a little worried. I did take a break after Thanksgiving because I wanted to take a break and spend time with you and the family, and then we got to go to Montana, and that was nice for New Year's. So now February is going to be busy again for me, so I don't have to worry about doing Postmates as much, so that's nice.
So good to be at work, and yeah, good to be busy, and
yeah,
make some of that quiche.
So I did actually post on our Night Owls page and ask some questions for you guys to send us some emails about any kind of topics you wanted us to talk about. So I did. I have two topics that I picked, and two topics from the listeners that I thought would be nice to share.
Okay.
And the fact that you guys are sending us things, that's really great.
Right. Keep it up.
I don't
please.
Check the email every day, which I should, but I think this is our 30th episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
We have one more episode next week for it to be our third season. So that's kind of cool.
If you guys are new,
go to our Anchor website. We have an Anchor platform. Yeah. We have a Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio. So go on there and get caught up, and you have plenty of time to get caught up. But if you are a regular listener,
thank you guys for sticking by season four.
Yeah, thanks you guys for, you know, the regulars who have been
sticking by, especially throwing those questions out there.
Thank you
for making this special.
And just like being here when we are starting to do our live videos, because I just posted some of the videos that we did last year to our YouTube. They were from May to last week. So I posted those on our YouTube channel, but it's nice to be able to have the live videos, because then that way they're always on our Facebook page. You guys can go and watch them if you missed them. But anyway, thank you guys. We love you so much. This is almost our third season.
Yeah.
It's still quarantine, unfortunately, but that's okay. So I'm going to look at one article that I thought was interesting. This is one of the ones that one of our listeners sent, because we recently talked about, they said that this was regarding that when we were talking about how blue cheese can give you vivid dreams, and that like they're similar, you were saying that they were similar to mushrooms, like maybe it's like similar to that blue, that kind of protein in mushrooms that could give you that like sensation of having the crazy visions. Well, someone sent us this, and they said that they're like, oh yeah, I noticed, I listened to your episode about you guys talking about how people are swapping alcohol for weed, and that they're smoking weed instead of drinking. And I thought that was kind of a nice episode, because that was two episodes ago, that people in the quarantine are now switching from alcohol to weed, or maybe they're cutting back on their drinking and smoking weed. And Matt's an avid smoker. I don't smoke every day, but
yeah, I mean, you know. I've seen several articles where exactly that, where it seemed like specifically parents was mentioned, and people maybe in general was another article.
Yeah, kind of like if you have kids that are 21 and maybe they live with you, and I mean, it's a good experience.
I mean,
I'm like being likes her Patron. I like Patron, but agave is good for you too.
I mean, moderation. Yeah. Moderation is really key to whatever you do. I mean, I don't care if it's running marathons or doing crossword puzzles or smoking blunts. Moderation is key.
Yeah. So this is by futurism.com. Neuroscientists, this is how your shrooms break down your sense of self. This could explain the difference between a good trip and a bad trip. Have you guys ever had a bad trip? I have had a bad trip before. I mostly on acid, never really on mushrooms. I don't think I've had an, I don't know. I feel like I'm really giggly and happy on mushrooms. They're just a different kind of feeling for me. Acid, like I know it's going to be unexpected and I know I have to be in a good place when I eat them or when I eat it. But mushrooms, I can be in kind of like sad and I like feel better. I don't feel like I have a bad trip from them. Like I don't need to be happy when I'm eating mushrooms. Some people it's different. Some people don't like mushrooms. They prefer acid as a psychedelic trip or psychedelic.
I mean, I think it depends on, too, especially how you ingest them. I mean, they could, you know, a lot of people don't like taking things that don't make them feel well, especially initially if they may upset their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, psilocybin mushrooms can cause that in people, especially within the first 30
minutes. Yeah, it's all about your brain, really, right? I mean, it's kind of about your brain.
Well, technically, it's food poisoning. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's poop.
If you're talking about
right?
taking
cow poop,
psilocybin mushrooms, I mean, technically, it's food poisoning.
Yeah, and I don't know how acid's made. I don't know much about that, but I do know that it has different properties than mushrooms.
It has different properties, and it unlocks various things within your brain, and
I mean, it helps you if you're a heroin addict, if you're depressed, they say that these help. So it says many people who take psychedelic drugs like shrooms or LSD describe one aspect of the experience as a compromised self or a breaking down of a familiar feeling, a boundary between yourself and the universe. It can be a moment of a profound breakthrough or a horrible experience, a bad trip that turns you off the substance forever. Now that's how I've been before. I've taken acid where I'm like, I'm never doing this again. Like I kind of was causing the bad trip because I didn't know a lot of people that were there at this event that I went to. It was like a daytime like rave thing. And I went and I knew only a few people that I now know really well, but I only knew a few people there and I didn't know. And I was meeting someone there. I wasn't like going with someone. I wasn't preparing with them. I wasn't like tripping with them, or I was alone. And I think the fact that I didn't know anyone, the anxiety was kind of creeping up, and I never really get anxiety. Like Matt, you know me, I don't really get, I get stressed out, but I don't get anxiety where I'm like, where I let things get to me that like that, where I'm just like, oh no, what if I start manifesting bad things. But acid does that to me. It makes me more of an empath. So like I get anxiety or I get like really emotional. Whereas shrooms, I just feel really happy. And like, I feel like I'm in like a video game or something. Like I feel like everything's funny. But like acid, it's like something, I could think a bad thought and then it's like fucking over. It's like okay, I have no control now.
I
like control.
You know,
that's
I don't know.
I can't lose
much
the control.
About, you know, I don't know if there, how much, if there's any literature or what studies there are to show you what, maybe they affect the same.
Well, they have some in brain here. They have something in here about
areas
that.
Of the brain. Or,
yeah. I mean, it says it affects the ego. It says ego dissolution. It says it uncovers this active chemical in shrooms that causes a mind-bending sensation. That's what they call ego dissolution. Findings that they could explain how the growing evidence for the therapeutic effects of psychedelic drugs. Brain scans of subjects dosed with psilocybin, according to research published Saturday in the Journal of Neuropsychopharmacology, that's a long word, reveal that the effect is related to a neurotransmitter called glutamate. In the brain, glutamate acts as a sort of on switch in that it helps propagate neutral signals traveling across the brain cells and altering how the research, how much reaches different areas of the brain. The findings suggest appear to trigger profound changes in perception. So how you see things, how things are to you, how you are absorbing the information. Like if I'm looking at a pillow and I'm high as fuck on that, it could look different than it would normally look to anyone who's not on acid, right? So I'm perceiving the pillow to either be threatening or to be happy or to be sad or whatever I'm thinking, because my brain is creating that yeah. vision to it, which is, I mean, that's why acid's so interesting, because your brain's like creating things it doesn't normally get to do, right? It gets to do things it doesn't normally get to do when you're just normal, when you're just sober.
Correct. I would say so. I mean, it unlocks.
It's like, I don't even think we use 10% of our brain. I think we use more than 10%. We have to. I mean, that's what they were saying, is that acid does that. And then there was like that whole Limitless pill. Remember that? People were saying there was this company out there that was like, oh, it's like the Limitless pill and the movie Limitless with Bradley Cooper.
Oh, I know that was
up. Yeah, there was a company that made a pill that was similar to that type of pill. We're supposed to make you help unlock certain areas of your brain. But I'm just saying, like, just microdose. I mean, that's, you can still go get shit done. You can still go to work. You can still, I mean, you know, a lot of people do it. They're prescribed. It's obviously a certain amount. It says even more provocatively, the study found that the active levels of glutamate in various brain regions are directly linked to a person's experience on psilocybin. Higher glutamate levels in the medial prefrontal cortex were linked to a negative experience of ego dissolution, while lower levels in the hippocampus, which is right here, were linked to a positive one. And it turns out that psilocybin causes both impacts. So your hippocampus is back here, and your prefrontal's here. So this is what you're thinking, like, this is your conscious thought. This is your subconscious thought. So this is the stuff that you use to, like, dream at night, you know? Yeah. So this comes up to the front, becomes, this is your creativity and everything. So it says that's the difference between the good trip and the bad trip. So while scientists have long suspected that glutamate played a key role in psilocybin's impact on the brain, this study was the first double-blinded, placebo-controlled experiment to be controlled on human participants that confirmed and further probed that hunch. Magic mushrooms remain illegal in the vast majority of countries around the world, but in recent years, a number of clinical studies in countries where it's legal, like the Netherlands and Jamaica, has started to probe the drug for medical benefits. Doctors have found evidence that psilocybin could help treat conditions ranging from anorexia to clinical depression and anxiety, and these first ever human brain scans could help them understand why. So I can share this link in the in our Anchor podcast and our comments below. But I just thought this was, I mean, I think this is interesting. This was sent from a fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, especially since I believe here, as far as the United States is concerned, right, Oregon might be the only one. Maybe there's another one, but I know for sure, right, Oregon here now has legalized the use of
everything?
Not everything, but they have legalized the use of mushrooms, right? So yeah. It's no longer
illegal. You just buy them on the street now, or you can grow them, I guess. I don't know.
You could probably grow them. You could probably have them. I'm sure that,
are they doing it like where you can buy like candy, or you can buy like edibles that have weed in?
I don't know.
That would be interesting. If you can do that with weed, you could do, I've had a mushroom candy bar before. I'm pretty sure I've had it in California, but I think they were bought, like they were sold on the low, because obviously I think they were illegal to eat there. But I remember when I went, one of the times I went to Humboldt County, someone had a candy bar that had mushrooms in them. And then someone here gave me a chocolate that had mushrooms in them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't really taste the mushrooms. They just, I mean, if you taste the texture, they taste like nuts or whatever. They don't taste like, you know, you can't taste them. But I think you have to be careful, because it's just like an edible. You can't.
Oh, no.
Eat it now, you'll feel it later.
And even more so, especially since sometimes within one of those little chocolates is about an eighth of mushrooms.
It's a lot. Which, yeah, you know, I ate the whole thing, and that was a long, it was 5 hours of...
Go find yourself in another...
Yeah. Let's just say I was at Queen and I had to actually leave Queen for a little while because no, I think it wasn't Queen. It was like a Daphne night, so it was like new. It was new experimental DJs that I never heard before. So that kind of didn't help because I didn't know if they were good or not because the mushrooms were making me all crazy. Like, I was like, is this music terrible or is it good? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So I definitely had too much. So if you have something that's an edible form in any kind, like if it's weed or mushrooms, like just be careful. Know your body weight. Know how much you're going to eat. Know how much you can take. If you are an avid smoker, you could still get really super stoned on edibles, and just be careful. I mean, I think it's good to know it's not the amount of mushrooms that you eat or the cap or the stem. It's like the amount of blue that there is in said mushroom. So it could be a tiny mushroom that's all blue, or it could be a big mushroom with barely any blue, and you can get higher with a smaller one. It doesn't matter the amount. There are
various ratings. I know when it goes to trying to grow them. And it does seem like maybe the more potent, more difficult they are to grow. But I think there's like, what, A+ or A++, something like that.
Yeah. I used to think it was like, oh, the stems are this way and it's this way. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. It's actually the amount of blue that's in there, the psilocybin. And I think there's another strain. What's the other strain? Psilocybin and isn't there two?
I don't know. That's all I know.
Okay. All right. Well, this is one I found. I thought it was really cute. Short and sweet article by themetro.co.uk. This is really cute. Look at this picture. So I'll show you guys the picture if you can see it.
No, I saw that. Oh, I didn't realize that was in the United Kingdom. Kid in the...
you know about this? Go ahead. If you know anything, talk about it.
No, I don't. I just saw a picture of it. Yeah.
Well, this is about... It says that a four-year-old brought home a baby deer that he befriended in the woods. Aww. I'd love to do that. So it's... I don't know who's cuter, the deer or the kid. A mother has shared her... Actually, the deer took the boy home because maybe the boy was lost.
Maybe, like, I'll take you home. Mean, but it is funny that the deer is not bigger than the boy.
No, he looks like a dog. He's no bigger than a dog. It says a mother has shared her shock after a four-year-old son made friends with a baby deer before bringing the cute creature home with him. Stephanie Brown was vacationing in Massanutten Resort in Virginia when her son Dominic turned up in their front door with the animal, who seemed completely comfortable in the boy's company. So this wasn't in the UK, it's just the website.
Virginia. Yeah. Okay.
Stephanie shared the photo on Facebook with the caption, "Dominic's really went outside and bought a deer back." Her snap was liked and shared tens of thousands of times. Recalling what happened, Stephanie said, "So I turned my head and there it is. It's like a little baby deer in him. Like, it wasn't anything strange for him. It was really weird." Well, he's four. I mean, nothing strange for a four-year-old. "I couldn't even tell you. I was in shock. I was like, no way. My mind's playing games with me." The Browns were packing up to head home to Ragged Point Beach in Virginia when Dominic showed up with his new friend. Stephanie says he froze while trying to work out what to do. I wouldn't know what to do either. I'd be like, why did he wander off, for one? They must not even have noticed that he wandered off. Like, how close was he to them that he found that deer? So she then took out her phone and captured a few photos of a magical moment and asked.
And then that's when the baby deer took out its fangs and went. No.
She asked Dominic to walk the deer back into the woods so it can find its mother. Oh, I didn't get to keep it.
Didn't you see Bambi?
I mean, his mom's probably dead. Why would he be alone?
Where's Thumper and Skunker?
It's rare that you see a baby deer just by itself.
Huh? A human and a baby deer. Huh?
I'm just saying it's rare that you find a baby deer that far away from its mom. Unless its mom, like, just, like, walked a few blocks away.
Unless that baby deer is actually the mom's brother reincarnated.
Oh, no. His brother died? That makes me think that his brother died. What are we talking
Her
about?
Her brother died.
What are you talking?
He came back as a baby deer.
Quiet, you.
No.
I just think about it logically, though. I mean, I could see a baby bear, because baby bears wander baby off. Baby skunks, raccoon, they wander off. Baby deers, like, don't really wander off.
Depends on where they are, too. I mean,
they're in Virginia. I don't know their landscape. I don't know the landscape out there.
Some deer can get pretty tame.
What kind of deer do you think it is? The same as they have here?
Yeah, it's a white-tailed deer, but in some areas where it's pretty densely populated and there's still a healthy population of deer, I mean, they can get pretty tame towards, or at least pretty relaxed towards humans.
Oh, yeah, they're used to them. Yeah. They're used to humans. So maybe he, like, lurked. Maybe he was, like, and it was an equal, like, curiosity between the boy and the deer. And the deer's like, okay, I'll just go home with you. Like, okay. Like, I don't know. I mean, the boy hadn't have been that far if he was able to bring it back.
Maybe
to...
it's like a thing in Narnia or something. I don't know. He thought he...
I don't think he was that far away if he was able to bring the deer back, you know? Yeah, this is way better quality, you guys. I actually managed to get our Zoom connected to our Facebook Live. So I apologize in the past that we've been... just using Facebook FaceTime camera because it was not good.
Okay.
So, okay, next one is, I'm going to pick one from the listeners. This is another happy story. I found the deer one to match this one. I don't think it's going to stand up next to it, though. This one seems a lot more cool. Okay, so this one's by People.com. You guys all know that magazine, People. This says garbage truck driver saves puppy abandoned in throwout backpack and decides to adopt her. I felt like I was meant to find her, Aaron Kinzel said. A Rumpke waste and recycling truck driver's keen eye saved a puppy's life. On Wednesday morning, Aaron Kinzel was working his route in Coleraine Township outside Cincinnati, when he noticed a discarded backpack on the side of the road. After further investigation, he probably thought there was drugs in there. He discovered the abandoned 10-week-old puppy inside the bag, per a press release from Rumpke. I felt like I was meant to find her, Kinzel said.
He was hoping there was $10,000 in cash.
According to the waste management company, the female boxer mix, I love boxers, was suffering from dehydration and a broken leg.
Oh, no.
And she was only 6 weeks. Oh. She is now being treated at a local veterinarian's office and will need to have her leg amputated or undergo expensive surgery to save the limb. Rumpke says they will pay for the puppy's treatment to ensure she makes a full recovery and give her the name Tipper for the time being. That's cute. Oh my god.
Oh, look at
look
that.
At her.
Oh.
This is not even a good picture, but you guys can see her face. Look at that.
Oh my gosh.
That's really cute.
Do that to that baby.
People are fucking assholes, dude. Rumpke team members are currently getting the puppy much needed care. So they are paying the bill. They are footing the bill for this baby, for Tipper. So they are, Rumpke Cincinnati, they are footing the bill.
Coming through.
Yeah, that's awesome. So thank you for sending those, guys. That was a really good.
That was really good. Yeah.
I can't believe someone listened to you talking about the mushroom thing and the weed thing. I'm glad you guys were, like, getting inspired by the episodes. So this is the last one that I wanted to talk about. Now, you and I have heard this before. We've heard of this story before in an NPR, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It was either Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me or it was the one where they do the puzzles, you know, where they do, like, the riddles and the puzzles and stuff. But it was definitely an NPR show, and they talked about these people who work for a company who, like, create colors. They create, like, colors that they're, like, the seasonal colors.
Yeah.
And then that trickles down to the fashion industry, and then it trickles down to the hair, and then it trickles down to, like, clothes, you know, whatever, like, furniture. And so sometimes, you guys, if you see you're walking down the street and you're looking at all the stores and you see the clothes in the windows and you see, oh, look at that. It's like a mustard yellow. And then you go to a bedding store and you see the same color in the sheets or in the comforters. That is a branded color. That's a color that is a seasonal color that's created to coincide with the season or coincide with, you know, whatever's going on in the year.
Exactly.
So someone is creating those colors to catch your eye and get you to buy stuff. I mean, not just do that. But it's someone's creating those colors.
They study. They know what colors, and they know what season, and they know what colors. I mean, there's a reason why.
It's science. It's a science.
You know, it's why McDonald's uses gold and red. I mean, they know that.
Well, a lot of logos use red and yellow,
and
you know?
It induces hunger.
Yeah. And, like, also that you see, like, it's a symbiotic thing, too. Like, if you see, like, let's say, like, we bought our blue couch. Like, I had probably seen blue in a couple other things before I decided to buy that couch. Like, there's no reason why I would have wanted to buy the blue couch.
Yes.
Unless I've subconsciously seen that color in clothing or in a house, or so sometimes you see those colors in different areas or different places, and it's that same like signature color. The mustard yellow, and then that sienna orange color, those are really popular for fall. You see them in trousers and like blazers and skirts, and you see that color and everyone can wear it. It looks good on everybody. So we've heard about this color before. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like Yemen blue. It's Yemen blue. And it's this color right here, if you guys can see. So that's Yemen blue. So it's kind of like a dark cerulean, because cerulean's more of like a light blue. So it's like the Facebook logo, but a little darker. It's
royal
like that color.
Blue.
Yeah, like
no.
A royal blue's a little bit, not it's more gray.
Right.
So it says color is a part of a spectrum, so you can't discover a color, says a professor at a solid state chemist at Oregon State University. You can only discover a material that is a particular color, or more precisely, a material that reflects light in such a way that we perceive it as a color, like a prism, or like, remember that thing you saw when they were like, is the dress gold or black?
Yeah.
Remember that? That's like what they're talking about. And I remember seeing that on Facebook. They were like, that went viral, because people were like, is it gold and black or is it white and blue or whatever, right? It was like something like that. So it said, scientific modesty aside, Subramanian actually has been credited with discovering a color, the first inorganic shade of blue in 200 years, named Yemen blue, and affectionately called Mass blue at Oregon State. The pigment's unwidely name derives from its chemical makeup of yttrium and indium and manganese oxides, which together absorbed red and green wavelengths and reflected blue wavelengths in such a way that it came off looking a very bright blue. See, so it says Gabriel Rosenberg notes at NPR. So this was definitely from NPR. It is a blue, in fact, never before seen, since it is not a naturally occurring pigment, but one literally cooked in a laboratory and by accident at that. What were they trying to cook instead? Okay. The discovery, if we can use the word, should justly be credited to Subramanian's grad student Andrew E. Smith, who, during a 2009 attempt to manufacture new materials that could be used in electronics, heated the particular mix of chemicals to over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Smith noticed it had turned a surprising bright blue color, and Subramanian knew immediately it was a big deal. Why? Because the color blue is a big deal. It is in an important sense, color is something humans discover over long periods of time, in which we learn to see the world in shades and hues our ancestors could not perceive. So I remember when blue came out, blue was actually created. One of the first like civilizations that created blue was the Mayans and the Egyptians. There wasn't really blue dye or blue use in artwork or jewelry or fashion until like, I don't know, 1600s, 1700s in France, because France became like the leading design district of the world. Like that's where you'd go buy your clothes. Like that was, if you buy your clothes from France, that was amazing. That was like a beautiful thing to do. And that means that you're ahead of the times. You are progressive. I mean, it's still cool to buy clothes in France, you know?
No.
But it said that, it says that some scientists believe that the earliest humans were actually colorblind and could only recognize black, white, red, and later yellow and green. blue, that is to say, did not exist for early humans. With no concept of the color blue, they simply had no words to describe it. Could you imagine living in that world with no. You don't even know what blue is. But you wouldn't miss out because you wouldn't know.
Blue eyes are a mutation.
They are a mutation. Everyone had black and brown eyes. This is even reflected in ancient literature, such as the Homer's Odyssey, which it's wine dark sea. So there's no blue sea in the Odyssey. It's wine dark. Sea and sky only begin to assume their current color some 6,000 years ago when ancient Egyptians began to produce a blue pigment. What did I say, guys? Okay, sorry. I'm getting a little excited. The first known color to be synthetically produced is thus called Egyptian blue. Created using ground limestone with sand and copper-containing mineral such as azurite or malachite. Blue holds a special color and special place in our color lexicography.
Yeah.
It is the last color word that develops across cultures and one of the most difficult colors to manufacture. People have been looking for a good, durable blue color for a couple of centuries, Subramanian told NPR. And so, Yemen blue has become a sensation among industrial manufacturers and artists. Patented in 2012 by OSU, it received approval for industrial use in 2017. That same year, Australian paint supplier Derivian released it as an acrylic paint called Oregon Blue. It has taken a few more years for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to come around, but they finally approved Yemen Blue for commercial use, making it available to all. ISIS David Marks writes in the Smithsonian, "Now, the authenticated pigment is available for sale in paint retailers like Golden in the U.S. The new blue solves a number of problems with the blue pigments. It is non-toxic and not prone to fading. Since it reflects heat and absorbs UV radiation, Yemen blue is extremely stable and a property long sought in blue pigment. He also says that it fills a gap in the range of colors. The pureness of Yemen blue is really perfect." So I thought that was kind of cool. Like, I mean, I knew that it was Egyptians that created that.
Yeah.
Egyptian blue.
Interesting. Yeah. Exactly. Colors have not been around since the beginning. They've been added as time has gone on, and how rare it is now to add a new color.
And blue and purple. I feel like purple would be up there too with that difficulty of the color blindness. Cause I think purple looks like red, you know, or brown. It looks like a brown. Because I actually have a family member that's colorblind. And I remember when I was young, we went to the store. I think I went with my aunt and him to the store. And there was a sweater that was red. And he asked what color it was.
Well, I mean, right, at least 20% of males are colorblind. Mm-hmm. And there is a spectrum.
They have
of
different
colorblind.
Cones in their eyes. Yeah, they have different color cones. Just like you guys hear music differently, too.
Correct.
Yeah. So when you see it, when you hear a DJ... female DJ versus a male DJ. It's not like they can't play the same shit, but like we would hear music differently than they would, or they'd play it differently based on what they hear. But yeah, those are the articles. Those are the topics I thought were kind of interesting. And I wanted to talk about some fun little tidbits. I feel like this is a tidbit episode.
Yeah, tidbit.
Yeah, no politics, no religion, just kind of fun facts to send you guys and send us. I mean, I was very pleased to see that there were some emails that you guys were like, hey, talk about this. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, so continue, please. Yeah. I mean, we're excited. I know it sounds like you all are excited. So yeah, throw down and we'll
keep sending those emails. Keep chatting
on
Facebook. We love
the correspondence.
Yeah, we love you guys. So we wanted to tell you guys to stay safe, stay happy, and wear a goddamn mask. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to... The Night Owl. All right, we did it. Good job.
Thought I was...